let's see. Today, what are we doing? Okay. First thing I want to talk about is the separation principle. And then we'll get back to the example. I just forgot to mention this last day. It's kind of an important idea, so I want to talk about it a little bit. And then back to example 7.6 that we were working on. And by the way, the thing we're doing in example 7.6 is called a predictive observer. Or estimator. The reason it's predictive is because you are predicting X at the next step, okay? And remember, the last example we did before this predictive estimator, you know, we looked at two ways of controlling the thing. One of them was, you know, generating X at the next step, right? And using that to figure out what U at the next step was going to be, right? And that didn't work quite so well, right? I mean, you couldn't make that crazy thing converge. I mean, at least I couldn't. So I went to the one where you have to have the faster computer, right? Where you can, you know, instantly, you know, figure out, you know, make your measurement and then do a very quick calculation and do your D to A and then wait till the next, you know, the next sample time and then repeat the thing. And that worked better. So actually, the other kind of observer we're going to do might be a little bit better for actually doing the pendulums, okay? And, of course, this is what we call a full-order observer, which is you're simulating all the states, right? So, you know, it's kind of like it works in most of your classes. You kind of learn the stuff that doesn't work quite as well first, but it's simple. So that's kind of what we're doing. So anyway, how is the homework going for the controller? Was that easy to make the estimator and whatnot, or has anybody even looked at it?
Yeah.
Nobody's even looked at it yet, huh? Yeah.
Not to that point, though.
I don't know. Maybe what we'll do. Yeah, right. I'll say no new homework today here, then. I was thinking, I really hate this, but you know, I'm thinking about this class and my other class. We haven't had any exams, right? And probably, you know, just to make it cement in your head, we should probably do a little bit of that. But at this point, I'm feeling, I guess, what shall I say, lazy or something. But probably we ought to think about that. I don't know. I don't know. Probably, you know, exam problems would be somewhat similar to like homework problems or something, you know. Although they're liable, you know, the kind of exam problems that I would also have would likely be things that are conceptual, you know. Like maybe what's the difference between a predictive observer and, the other kind. Or, some of those kind of things that... I haven't thought about it enough, but I usually have some design problems on the exams too. So. But
what about that doesn't take 24 solid hours to finish?
I don't know. Last time I gave a take-home exam for the final, everybody didn't like it, right? Right.
And learn.
No. I
just
I like that.
All of my other grades suffered because it sucked up right, all my time.
I know. Well, the other teachers complained about it. Or at least one of them did. I don't know which one, but Dr. Logan came by and gave me grief about it.
Oh, really?
Dr. Logan.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Where are we on getting better communication with anyone?
I talked to Ralph, and Ralph doesn't think that's the issue, you know. the TCP shouldn't have any latency issues that UDP doesn't have. When you're just connecting it, it's not on the network. It's just a direct Ethernet connection from one to the other. So the difference between TCP and UDP is TCP, if there's an error, it will resend it. UDP doesn't. And if you have a wire going from one to the other, the probability of a collision is very low, right? There's only those, and so you're not likely to have those kind of issues. So he was somewhat reluctant to spend a whole lot of time on that.
Well, in my experience, the issue has been on the computer side.
That's what he said. He said the issue was more likely a Windows issue, because Windows was busy, you know, took time to do some other process, you know. So what he suggested, and I haven't done this yet, was he suggested that I should load Simulink on the Linux machine, and you know, if you want to do that, you can, because it's, you know, maybe there's password issue, I don't know, we could look and see. I don't know what the story is there, but I did look at that, and I did get, you know, from Riley where the Linux MATLAB and Simulink stuff is on the K drive or whatever it is. And so, you know, I could try and get MATLAB and Simulink on there. Right now we've got Octave, and there is a script, you know, that controls the thing that's in Octave, you know, the controller. Yeah, but it's really very little code that you have to modify to do that. You know, it's just basically just adding in, you know, it's the skeleton of the program, it's all there, so it's just adding in, or you're basically putting in the right matrices. Okay. So it's not like, you know, a big issue. But, you know, I can work on getting the Simulink and MATLAB installed. And I don't know, there may be some software necessary to go from Simulink to talking to Ralph's hardware. I don't know. I mean, you were doing that before with a Windows machine, okay?
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
It was only a problem with the TCP/IP delay. When the computer tried to get a packet, it would stop its entire process waiting for that packet to appear. Mm-hmm. And that caused some problems.
Well, on Linux, I thought there was a way to enforce stuff to run in real time.
You probably can.
On Linux, you can force Simulink to run in real time, and that would probably solve that on the Linux side. But
yeah, if we could get it working on Linux.
And see, on Windows, you can't force anything to run in real time anymore. So.
Well, that's what Ralph said. He said he thought it was a Windows issue, that it's a little more. But not so much. I don't know. Maybe on Windows, if you do UDP, it has something that saves it. But I talked to him about doing the modification, and you know, he's teaching manufacturing this quarter, and he wasn't. First of all, he didn't believe that was the problem, and second of all, he didn't want to spend the time doing that modification to the FPGA code. I don't know. I mean, if we could demonstrate it for sure, you know, and prove to him that that was the problem, we might get some more action. But, you know, at this point, he didn't believe it was the problem. And there's the other workarounds. I mean, we could still put MATLAB and Simulink on the Linux machine, and, you know, if we have the same issue there, then perhaps. And we would convince him more that it was TCP versus UDP. But Octave has been running with TCP just fine on Linux.
See, I would say maybe try to install Simulink, but we've got, 5 weeks left in the quarter? Mm-hmm. And to modify the change, everything is going to consume probably that last 5 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know how much time it's going to take to modify it. I don't know how much time it takes to install Simulink. It might not be that hard to install Simulink in MATLAB. I think it should be pretty easy.
I think so.
I mean, it's not as easy as a regular Linux program, but it's still should be pretty easy.
Yeah, it shouldn't take too long.
Yeah. So are you guys getting to the place where you're ready to try some things on the Pendulum? I mean, that would be kind of a fun thing. You could try. I mean, at this point, if you got that homework done, you could try that on the Pendulum. You know, I mean, it's to the point where, you know, it's not like the optimum thing yet, but it's something that possibly could work, right?
We should test the discrete system first.
Oh, yeah, true.
Would it be worth...
But you guys know how to convert to the discrete, right? So maybe that would be a good homework problem for you to work on, you know, move it over to the discrete, right?
Would it be worth building a continuous nonlinear model in Simulink to attach a discrete controller to it?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what the, you know, nonlinearities are in the, you know, in the system. I mean, you can put in some... Well, yeah, you can do that. That's true. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's probably not too hard to do, you know. I don't know that that's the, you know, the big issue though, but it might be. I mean, it might be a, you know, it would be an interesting thing you could see.
It'd help us test our controller if they connect to the relation.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, that might be a good thing. And then we also got to go to the, you know, from continuous to discrete. You guys are all doing continuous right now, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess you got to go from continuous to discrete to be able to run on the Pendulum. And then if you want, you know, better simulation and, you know, actually putting the nonlinear differential equation in, which I'm assuming... You know, you derive the nonlinear differential equation to get the, you know, the differential equation. Yeah, so you should have that. But as far as putting it in Simulink, then that's another little, you know, job too to make that all work. But maybe not too hard. I don't know. I don't know whether you just, you know, just a little differential equation block you can just plop in there or something. You know, system. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it shouldn't be too hard. So yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, you want to think about, you know, doing that, because that would be a useful thing, you know, to actually try that. Is the simulation working? I guess the simulation must be working for the state feedback on the linear system, right? I mean, I hardly believe that would be very difficult if that didn't work, you know. The thing I'm worried about is whether your models all agree, you know, and actually are the right model, right? And I don't know, Austin, if he was here, he'd probably tell us, well, you know, I looked at them and they were all the same, or some people differed or whatever, you know, that's one thing. But it's kind of nice that there's a bunch of you guys doing it, and hopefully, you know, you didn't all follow the same path, and that way maybe, you know, there's some checking that way. That's one important kind of thing. One thing I've been doing on my examples here is I've kind of been following the book. Two reasons. One, you know, you guys have the book, and then you have, you know, kind of a double enforcement. But the other big reason is so I can compare my answers to somebody's, you know. Because otherwise, you know, you make it work, and especially in feedback. Feedback is something that, you know, it's made to be robust, right? I mean, the whole purpose of feedback is, you know, so just because you control the pendulum doesn't mean that your model was right. I mean, like, for example, I remember I was teaching feedback a while back, and I did a demo in class, right? And I, you know, balanced the pendulum for everybody, right? Gave them all great hope that they could do it too, right? And then, you know, a little while after that, I discovered there was a mistake in my model. But it still worked, right? So, you know, that's the thing about feedback. It covers a multitude of sins. So, anyway, I don't know. Okay. Let me go back. I'm going to show you a thing that we that we did here. First of all, here's the thing on separation principle on Wikipedia, but before we go there, I want to just look at the notes, and I'm just going to bring up a new tab because who knows which one of those other tabs might be the notes. That's how I get all these tabs, right? Yeah, right. It could be. So I should have cleaned things up before I came to class today. Okay, so this thing right here. This guy right here was the thing, you know, we didn't actually derive this guy, but this is the one that's derived in the book. And there's a homework problem that was to do the one we did, which had the, you know, state variables, you know, x hat and x here, right? And this was e and x, so this is the error and x, or they call this x tilde. For me, it's I like e better because it reminds me it's error. Anyway, if you notice this thing, this is a very interesting matrix right here. And this matrix is actually very important because I don't know whether you've thought about it or not. But when you're making a control system and you're using, your feedback is coming from E, right, or from X hat, not E, but from X hat, and going back into the system. Sure, X hat is tending toward X, that's true. But, you know, we kind of broke this into two problems, right? We did the controller problem, right? And we did the observer problem, and we didn't put the two together until, you know, actually we're going to simulate this today. So we'll actually simulate this thing and double check it works. But we broke it into two problems, and we solved each one of them separately, right? And why, especially if you look back at the matrix we had before this, this one right here actually makes it kind of obvious, but if you look at the one we came up with this mess, you know, this thing, they're all coupled together. See, here's the X hat, you know, here's the X, right? And they're all coupled together, right? I mean, look at this big matrix here. Who's to say the eigenvalues of this matrix are what you set them to be? Like, you wanted the eigenvalues to be those poles, you know, that you set for the controller, right? And you wanted the other eigenvalues to be the ones for the observer, right? And then we put this whole big matrix together. Look, it's all coupled together, right? It's coupled together because I went and put the feedback on, right? Before that feedback, all the poles were the way they were supposed to be, right? I mean, assuming I could actually get the X's and put them back around, and if I had my observer and put it back around, those poles would all be right, right? But now I really could, the reason I built the observer was I couldn't measure the X's, right? So I took the X hats, and I used those for my feedback and put them back in the input. And if you look at this thing, there is absolutely nothing that tells you, by looking at that, that your poles are still where you placed them, right? Because I didn't place them using the X hat as the thing that was being fed back, right? Make sense? Yeah, I was using X instead of X hat when I made the controller, when I used place, right? There was nothing about the X hat in that thing, right? When I used place. Why are they, I mean, who's to say they're the same? Who's to say my poles didn't end up moving because I'm, you know, doing a different kind of a system, right? And if you look at this thing, it's, you know, this matrix right here, it's all coupled together, right? And when you see that, you say, oh dear, there could be problems here, right? I mean, if you're thinking about this, and probably doesn't happen until you have the problems, and then you say, what could be wrong here? And then you think about this. Ooh, that could be really bad news, right? I'm not really doing what I was said I was doing, right? I'm not using the X's and feeding that back. I'm using the X hats, and that's making a whole new system, which it's all coupled together, and look at this matrix, and what a mess, right? But that's where this matrix here is absolutely incredibly wonderful. Because you can look at this matrix and you can see that there's a zero up here, a zero matrix up there. That means the eigenvalues of this matrix are the eigenvalues of this thing and the eigenvalues of that thing. And Anytime you have an upper triangular matrix or a lower triangular matrix, those eigenvalues are on the diagonal. And even when these things are block matrices, the eigenvalues of this block matrix are the eigenvalues of this thing, right? And they're uncoupled from the eigenvalues of this thing. Oh, thank you, Lord! It worked! I mean, we had a kind of an idea that, you know, maybe it would work because, you know, X hat was tending to X, and you know, it seemed like it was a pretty good approximation, right? But this says they're exactly what you asked for, right? And that's a really important fact. I mean, in other words, you can break the whole problem up. You didn't have to set the poles on that other matrix down there by, you know, adjusting the L and the K, right? To get the poles so they're exactly where they should be. I mean, theoretically, it seems like it's possible that you should be able to do that, right? I mean, you still have enough variables, and it's, you know, it may be a bigger matrix, and you might have to twiddle things and whatnot, but we don't have to. We can separate the thing, and it makes it much easier, right?
So does this actually change anything, or does it just offer more insight about what's happening?
It offers more insight. It's identical to the other thing. I mean, they're the same story, but from the other way, we can't look at it and say, aha, everything is decoupled. This one, we can look at it because it's zero up here and say, aha, they're decoupled. The systems are decoupled because of that zero. So that is like, wow, great, okay? So, anyway, that's the separation principle. It means you can do your controller design today, get it all done, do your observer design tomorrow, get it all done, and the observer design did not tweak on your controller design. Okay? So, that's good because that's the way you did it. Remember, you did your controller on homework, whatever it was, and then homework N plus 1, you did the observer, right? It means you don't have to go back now and do the controller again. Oh, good thing, right? I mean, and you guys probably knew this from feedback. I don't know. The same principle works back in, you know, continuous systems. And that's, you know, we do the same thing there, right? So anyway, that's the separation principle. Are there questions about that? Okay. Well, then let's go on to example 7.6. And like I said, you know, on the Wikipedia article, you can, you know, you can read this. And it probably is, you know, a good thing. I was reading various things on Wikipedia yesterday afternoon, and it wasn't that article, but it was some one of these tabs here.
Can your error diverge without your states diverging?
Can I what?
Can your error diverge without your states diverging? Like?
Yes.
That seems kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, maybe I have to think about that, yeah. I mean, your poles from the states could be in the left half plane, but the poles from the error could be in the right half plane. Now, the poles from the error will cause the states. Well, let's see.
It is.
Well, the error. Right, and I guess your question is more like back to this. See, the error this is a little different than the error here. Let's look at, you know, this one has the error here, right? And that one has the x hat. And if the x hat is diverging, then I guess from the other one, the x's are going to diverge probably too, right? Okay, in which case. But the poles, the thing about this is the poles of the error are not coupled to the poles of the state here. So I suppose it's hard to imagine, you know, if your error is diverging, that your that well, your x hat x is not going to end up diverging too.
Well, if the x is only linked to itself, then its eigenvalues would fully determine its dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's also
got this guy down here, right? So the x, if this error is diverging here, then this guy will make the x diverge as well. But but the X's could do whatever they want here, and the error will still converge. Right? Because this guy, this is a zero here times the X. So the error is independent of what X happens to be.
So at least you'll have good predictions of the failure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's a kind of two different things here. Whether the X diverges or what not has to do with the poles of this guy. But the you know this guy could be diverging, but this guy right here is right on. In other words, the error is zero. You know the X hat is diverging as well, right? And identically. But from this, you can see that these eigenvalues here, you know, determine the eigenvalues of error, and this the eigenvalues down here. Determine the eigenvalues for this thing right here. So, you know, at least you can see that you can separate it out. I mean, maybe I should give you a little, you know, some of this stuff actually, a lot of this stuff has to do with math that maybe you learned or should have learned in linear algebra or maybe wish you'd learned, right? Because the idea that you can look at that and say, well, those eigenvalues are the same, you know, that's a linear algebra kind of a problem, right? And you know, if you know those kind of facts, then they turn out to be useful here. If you don't know them, you could look at that and say, well, I still can't see what's going on, right? So, you know, a little plug for all the linear algebra you can learn. And there's actually, you know, you already had linear algebra here, but there's actually an extremely good thing online that you can go to. If you go to MIT OpenCourseWare, there's Gilbert Strang's linear algebra class, and that is extremely helpful. Very, very good class. I mean, right, they have a lot of stuff, but the linear algebra one is extremely good. I mean, the guy, Gilbert Strang, you know, he's the guy that wrote the, you know, linear algebra book that they used to use here. I don't know what they're using now, but, you know, it, you know, he's just really, really good and intuitive about all these things, and his class goes over quite a bit more than our linear algebra class does. And it actually, you know, is a thing that you really, really want to know if you're going to get into control engineering, you know, if you're going to do that. So I highly recommend those lectures. They're very, very good. You know, if you got time, just sit back and watch them, right? And you'll learn things, you know, about positive definite matrices and other stuff that if you want to understand things like optimum control, if you want to understand things, you know, even in optimization, you know, there's linear quadratic regulators and all these kind of things, and there's Kalman filters and all those things. And those kind of things really rely on you knowing that stuff pretty backwards and forwards, okay? And more, it's more than what we had in linear algebra, quite a bit more. There's all those kind of things. So I would, you know, put a plug for that. It's well worth your time. I mean, this summer, if you got a little bit of time to spend on YouTube, you can watch those lectures. I don't know, there's probably, you know, it's a whole semester worth. And each one of them is excellent.
If you don't have time, watch them at 2x, like my brother did during linear algebra class.
Yeah, I don't know if you can watch Gilbert Strang's in 2x and still grep everything.
I guess there's like 1.5 times, yeah. So it's been a little bit.
Is that what he did?
Yeah, when he took linear algebra, he would watch it
2x.
And
yeah.
It wasn't 2x, it was more like 1.5.
It was the same those Gilbert Strang ones from MIT. Yeah,
it was the MIT open courseware stuff.
Right.
But he sped it up a little bit.
Yeah, he's pretty bright.
No, on his own time.
Not in class.
No.
Yeah, well, there's the stuff that Gilbert Strang goes over is significantly more than what they do here. You know, we don't do spectral value decompositions. You know, we don't do, I mean, at least unless they've changed it since I took it, you know. They do, eigenvalues and eigenvectors, but that's, you know, kind of about where it stops. And I don't know, I think Heidi actually has been doing a little more than what, you know, used to be done. So I don't know what else. Okay, so let's look. We were going to look at this problem here, right? Let's look at what we were doing here. It was an octave. And I have some problem on my thing here, but we'll get to that when we get to that. So let's go to the editor. So here's what we had last time. There's a few little things I added on here because I wanted to take less time in class. So first of all, I put, you know, here's the transfer function, here's the initial thing. You remember the poles were plus or minus j, right? And I did put a pause here, and I did an initial value simulation here, okay? So that's just, it should give you a sine wave, right? So we'll check that out. And then the poles I wanted were at -1 and -1, and we set the time step to 1, and I made the state space matrices out of that, and then we did C2D. This was Andrew's business. You got to go to state space before you do C2D. And then we changed the poles up here by adding 0.0001 on one of them because the MATLAB and Octave has this thing about equal poles. And then we made the z poles were exp and minus s poles t, right? And then I just labeled all these phi, gamma, and c. I actually put in c. We didn't have c last time, but we need c. Okay, so I put in c there. And then we were checking the rank of the controllability matrix for phi and gamma to make sure things were... Okay, so we need to look at that. I mean, maybe I should put a pause after that or something. And then we place the poles on phi, gamma, you know, using z poles, and this is, kind of standard what we've done before. Then down here was the estimator, right? So we're going to use this prediction estimator on this thing. So the estimator poles, we just said, were 5 times the S-plane poles, and then we, you know, did the conversion into the Z-plane poles, okay? And the reason we did that would put our poles at -5 and -5, and that means they're going to go down e to the -5t instead of e to the -t, which means our estimator, our x hat, should converge much quicker than our x's do, right? So, and you want to do that because otherwise when you place your poles on your controller, they will be masked out by the effect of the observer. In other words, when you actually see the results of running an initial value simulation, you know, the thing that lasts the longest is going to be the pole that's closest to zero in the S plane, okay, or closest to zero in the Z plane. Those are the ones that are going to last the longest. And so if your estimator poles are closer to zero, or closer to the J omega axis in the S plane, or closer to zero in the Z plane, then the estimator will be what you will see. In other words, you have the right poles you want for your controller, but that's not really what's going to matter because, you know, the other ones will last longer. If there's any initial error on the other ones, then that will be the thing that will show up. So anyway, we did our estimator poles here. We did basically the same thing. Now we got down to this L, okay? This is placing the poles of the estimator. And one thing that I didn't have in there last time was if you're going to place the poles on the estimator, you need to put transposes in here for C and B. Because remember, if you think about, you know, C, C is a long skinny matrix like this if you have one output and, you know, N states, right? And B is a long skinny matrix like this, right? Up and down. You know, one input, long thing. And if you look back at the notes here, notice this guy right here is phi minus LC, okay? L is a long skinny matrix, right? I mean, like this, right? And C is this way right here. And this was for the observer, but this is the controller. And the controller, the matrix that you're setting the poles for on the controller, you know, with feedback, is phi minus gamma k. Now, up here, the thing you're changing is L, you know, the parameters in L. And over here, the thing you're changing is the parameters in K, right? Does that make sense? So we know how to place the poles. We'll place the poles for the place routine. Places the poles for the control, right? For B minus gamma K. In other words, it finds K. Place the poles there, right? And we wish to place the poles for the observer. Which is the matrix is phi minus, and what is it? Phi minus LC, right? Okay, and we want to find L, right? That's what we want to do, right? But our function does this. So basically, it's adjusting K to make the eigenvalues of this thing the right thing. Now, fortunately, there's a thing you learn in linear algebra that the eigenvalues of the transpose of a matrix are the same as the eigenvalues of the matrix, okay? So the eigenvalues of A transpose are the same as the eigenvalues of A. Okay? And so if we take the transpose of this, phi minus L C transpose, okay, is going to equal, it'll be phi transpose, because I transpose that guy. And then minus, it's going to be C transpose L transpose. Because when you take the transpose of a product, you have to change the order of the multiply. Okay? Is that all right? You remember that kind of stuff from linear algebra? All this stuff from linear algebra you really need to know, right? If I was doing more derivations, you'd really need to know even more, right? I mean, I've kind of been light on that, but this is where this comes from. So, basically, what I want to do... Oh, I forgot the transpose on this guy. What I want to do is put into the pole placement, I want to put in, instead of phi, I want to put in phi transpose, right here. And instead of gamma, I want to put in C transpose, right? And then it will solve for L transpose, right? And then I can untranspose that by transposing again, right? Because a matrix transpose is back to itself again, right? Okay, so let's go back to our code. Are there questions about the little aside there?
How do you remember all this
stuff? What?
The weird matrix rules.
Oh.
I know. That's why I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, I wish I remembered more of them. I wish I remembered more of them, but it comes from using them in derivations. It's practice. It's practice, yeah, using them in derivations. And I don't know. I mean, I think the thing, you know, to recommend you to do is to do what Garrett did. Look at those things in as fast mode as you can, you know, and try and learn all those kind of things. And then, you know, it's actually, you need to be, if you want to remember those kind of rules, you kind of need to use, I mean, at least for me, my philosophy has always been, I can't remember rules. So you have to remember the proof of the rule.
So do you actually write it down, or do you just...
Well, what happens to me is, at first, I always rederive it. But after I've derived it a whole ton of times, then I start remembering, okay? Because I've derived it, you know, just like, you know, whatever it is that you derive a lot, you'll remember the result, right? And then I have to admit that I stop deriving it, right? Unless, you know, a student or somebody asks me to do it, right? But at that point, there it's you know, and maybe if I go long enough, I'll forget the derivation. I'll have to fiddle around, and I can remember the result better than the derivation. But it always starts for me. It always starts with the doing the derivation over and over again, and that's how I remember it. And the thing I like about that is it really works well when you have to derive something that you don't know yet, which is quite often. Okay, I mean in real life. If you can go to Wikipedia and you can look it up, it's already built into MATLAB or whatever, that's not going to get you out of grad school. You know? You've got to do something new, right? So, and, you know, it's the same thing if you're in industry. You know, you've got to build something new. I mean, you can use all those tools, but there's got to be something that's new about your thing, or why is somebody going to buy, you know, something they've already got, right? So. Well, yeah, but in that case, you actually have to make the logo worth something, right?
Yes.
Like Apple or whatever, you know, they worked on making that logo worth a lot, right?
That's true.
And they did that by actually doing things that were kind of like cooler than what else was available, right? So, yeah, I mean, if you happen to get hired on to Apple, you might be able to get by with that for a while, but really, you're getting by on the coat strings of your predecessors, right? Okay, so, I mean, does this all make sense? I mean, do you remember this thing when you do a transpose matrix, multiply two matrices together, or the transpose of the product is the backwards, you know? Do you remember that, or you don't?
I remember it now.
You remember it now? You wouldn't have remembered it when you... Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. if you want me to spend a little time, we can derive that. But I'm assuming that you really don't like that. I mean, that was something you could have learned in linear algebra, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, no, actually, just watch the MIT lectures. I mean, and you know, it's always better to do the problems, but at least watch the lectures if you can get some time. Because if you're going to do control engineering, this kind of stuff, you got to know all that kind of stuff. You really do. I mean, you even go look on Wikipedia and try and understand the derivations and stuff there. You won't understand them if you can't do that kind of stuff. You know, it's just like, oh, well, I don't know. You can get the basic idea, though. The seat of the pants, the basic idea, but you just can't go through the math to get you to the place you need to be without doing the math. And, you know... And knowing the math also helps with, you know, getting those basic ideas, too. You can go both ways. When I was taking physics, I took calculus before I took kit physics. And so when I went through physics, I used a crutch, and I would, you know, I could see if you just did the algebra, this is what you'd end up with, right? There were other people who took physics first, and they would kind of think about what was happening more physically, you know, what's really going on. And from that, they would try and figure out what the algebra had to be to give it that kind of effect, right? So you can go both ways. You know, so. Okay, so back to octave here. So now we understand this thing right here. V transpose, C transpose, estimator, Z pulse. Is that okay? So whenever you're doing your estimator pulse, you need to use place, but you need to put the transpose in there, right? And that actually will help you on your homework if you haven't done the estimator yet, right? Okay, and then I untransposed L again, right? Is that right? So, I mean, because you can't say L transpose is it equal to this. They don't allow you to do that kind of thing. I could call this LT and then call that L equals LT transpose. That might be better, but, you know, as far as tutorial. But anyway.
You put the transpose at, like, place, and then after the last parenthesis.
Yeah, I probably could. I could probably do transpose there.
Yeah,
I might be able to do that. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I could do that. But we'll just do it this way. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I should do that.
But it's actually more tutorial. Let's just say
if I fix that. I kind of like your idea, Eric. Let's fix that.
Yeah, that might.
Well, it's just a little more, what shall I say, a little more, because I never had L being not what L was. I mean, that's what I like about it, right? Okay. And I didn't have to introduce a new variable either. So that's simpler. So I like that. Okay, so now we're going to do a simulation down here. And this simulation is what I'm simulating is I'm simulating the error. I'm simulating this thing right here, error and X. Okay, so this is the whole mess, right, with the controller and the estimator observer, right? Or at least I'm trying to. I'm not sure. I think I had some issues here, but let's see whether we can figure them out. So I said the total system A is, okay, so I'm making, this is phi is a matrix, right? So I'm making a matrix of matrices, right? It's phi minus L times C. Okay? That's going to be that upper left-hand corner. Maybe I should write that over here so we don't have to keep going back and forth. You can see it. Here it is. V minus L times C, zero, right? I'm just writing this thing. And then gamma K, and then V minus gamma K. So let's just check and see whether I did that right, because I haven't double-checked this. So V minus LC, zero is gamma K, and V minus gamma K, and there's a space in there, right?
Is that zero? It seems like it's just
going to
make
Q
zero instead of
2
by 2.
Well, that's tough. Let's try it. I don't know. Might be a mistake. Zeros, 2, right? Yeah, 2 by 2. Okay. So it would be 2 comma 1 if I want a 2 by 1 or whatever, right? Anyway. Yeah, that's one of the nice things about watching somebody else program. You always see little cool things. That's why I really like it when I get you guys up here doing these demos like Andrew did, because then, oh, hey, that's cool. I didn't know you could do that. Yeah. Because everybody kind of has a slightly different dialect of whatever, you know, programming language they use, right? And they like to do it this way or that way. Okay, so this looks okay to you, the phi? I mean, the new phi, the A or whatever. I called this total sys A. That's you know, kind of like the A matrix, like the phi matrix, right? A, B, C, D. Now the B, total sys B, I have no inputs to the system, right? But you need a B matrix when you're going to use SS or whatever, right? That makes sense? So here's my B matrix. And it's just 1, 2, 4 zeros in a column, right? So this would totally be uncontrollable the way it is, right? Because we've already used all the inputs up, right?
You're just zero.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay, so then C... I took the errors. I'm going to say the output. I'm not going to output errors. I'm just going to look at the first X. Okay. I think it was like X and X dot on the thing, kind of. You know. So this is the X. X is the output. I just picked that as C. I mean, maybe I should pick something else because I could look at the errors or whatever. But that's what I did. And then I said total sys equals SS. And then I put the A matrix, the B matrix, and the C matrix in there. And I guess I need to do one other thing. This needs to be a comma T, right? Because these are discrete, right? Is that the right syntax? Let's go over and check this out. Help. No, maybe I have to do... This is a discrete system, right?
Yes.
How much time? We're out of time, aren't we? Well, I'll look at this. Now I need to figure out... it's a discrete system, right? So I have to put A, B, C, D. I have to put in a D matrix, which is 0, right? I can just put a 0 in there, and then I have to put the T, right? And then I guess next day we'll try it out. Where is this thing? I guess I've got to go down here. That's my apologies for running over here. 0. Okay. Wonder if that'll solve my last little problem there. And I need to simulate it, right? Oh, anyway. Are there any questions? Yeah, okay. Well, next time we'll run it. And then the next thing we'll do next time is we're going to look at the other kind of observer. Okay? Requires a fast computer, but it'll do a better job. He's headed out.
Yeah.
Do you know that? Nobody knows.
Okay.
I don't know whether he's coming back or not.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, William was asking him, you know, kind of point blank, and he just kind of put him off.
Yeah.
And we got Aria's, he was like Aria's regular doctor or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And we got an mail from Walla Walla General Hospital said, Elwin won't be with us anymore. You know, you've been assigned to some other doctor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so I don't know exactly. I think we have, you know, some kind of certification problems with, you know, with the state of Washington or something.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, it's a really sad thing to have him go because he's, you know, been a great guy to have in the area.
Yeah. Anger said he's going to keep his place in the department there.
So he's hopefully, I think he wants to come back.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't know what, you know.
Yeah.
I have no idea, you know, exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
I hope he comes back.
Yeah. No.
But I'm not banking on it.
Yeah.
I mean, but there were other people posting on there, you know, people that I didn't know, you know, that were saying things like, so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So I don't know what the story is exactly. Andrew probably knows better, but.
Yeah.
But. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
he just said
a really
he
good
be
job.
out of town for a while.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I don't know if it's permanent or. It might turn into permanent.
It might turn into permanent, yeah. I don't think he really knows. knows what he's doing exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. Oh, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah. All right. So I don't know. I don't have any data, really. More than what I told you. Yeah.